I take a look at this big pile of stuff in my backpack, and I take a look at this gospel story, and it just makes me sigh. Because it makes a cute kid's message, right? We all smiled and laughed. But the reality of leaning into this call that Jesus gives us is so much harder. I think about how much stuff the Valenti family crammed into our cars when we went to the beach last month. And yes, I said cars. We had, our traveling group was 5 adults and 2 car seats, so we couldn't have done 1 car. But still, we used the rooftop box and every nook and cranny of both of our cars for a 2.5-hour beach trip. And the beach house was fully stocked, and there were local pharmacies and grocery stores nearby, and it was only a 7-day trip. Jesus, on the other hand, called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2, and he ordered them to take nothing for their journey, except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but wear sandals, and not to put on 2 tunics. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine being sent out with just my sandals and a stick. No wallet, not even a 2nd pair of underwear. And maybe this was just the common practice of hospitality during the day, during their day. And this gospel story shows up in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. But even so, it feels so radical to my Western ears. For I may not bring that backpack with me everywhere I go, but in my work bag, I've got a small toiletry kit and snacks, and I have my little pastor's book and headphones and mints and an umbrella and my phone and keys and water bottle, and you get the idea. To show up in someone's house, in someone's town, with nothing, ask for housing and food and care. It feels so vulnerable. It makes me uncomfortable. The expectation that others would care for my every need when I show up unannounced? I can't quite put my finger on it, but it feels kind of cringy. We just celebrated the 4th of July, our Independence Day. We pride ourselves in the United States of not being attached, of showing up prepared with all of our stuff, taking care of our own needs by ourselves, on our own. We don't need anybody else. The individual can do it all. And if they can't, well, there's something wrong with them, right? If someone depends on someone else for help, they must be freeloading or lazy. Or, well, you fill in the blank. Jesus, forget the sandals. In the United States, we wear boots, and we pull those straps up all by ourselves. Amanda Palmer is a famous musician, and she's written this book and done a TED Talk around the idea of asking. Around 10 years ago, just as things like Kickstarter and GoFundMe were beginning to launch, she was already doing this work of asking the public for what she needed. So when she tours, she tweets out asking for a place to stay, food for her band, extra cash for the opening band, and folks always come through with more than enough. She shared this story in her TED Talk about her crew pulling up to a really poor Miami neighborhood and finding out that their host for their couch surfing stay was an 18-year-old girl still living with her family, and all of her family were undocumented immigrants from Honduras. And that night, her whole family took to the couches, and the host slept with her mom so that the band could have their beds. And Amanda lay there thinking that night, these people have so little. Is this fair? And in the morning, her mom taught them how to make tortillas, and she tried to give them a Bible, and she took Amanda aside and said in her broken English, "Your music has helped my daughter so much. Thank you for staying here. We're all so grateful." Amanda shares, that a lot of people are confused by her behavior. They see it as an unpredictable risk. But the things that I've done, like Kickstarter and the street and the doorbell, Amanda doesn't see these things as risk. She sees them as trust. Now the online tools make the exchange as easy and as instinctive as the street. They're getting there, but the perfect tools aren't going to help us if we can't face each other and give and receive fearlessly. Most important, to ask without shame. She shares, my music career has been spent trying to encounter people, so blogging and tweeting, not just about my tour dates and my new video, but about our work and our art and our fears and our hangovers and our mistakes. And we see each other. And I think when we really see each other, we want to help each other. Amanda Palmer, in her work, has tipped the scales of what hospitality looks like and named it not as a charity, poor me kind of thing, but as a reciprocal, mutual relationship where each gets more than what they think they need and all are transformed in the process. For Jesus' disciples, something similar happens. In these places where they are able to be a part of a community, people repent. Demons are cast out and the sick are anointed. God's love shows up in these places. And in the places where the disciples are not welcomed, Jesus says, just shake the dust and keep moving. Mutual hospitality removes the illusion that we can be completely independent of one another. For the truth is, we desperately need each other. We can't survive without each other. Just take one aspect of our life and follow the thread. We would not have food on our tables without farmers and migrant harvesters and factories and grocery stores and government farm bill subsidies. No one's bootstraps are big enough to be completely self-sufficient. And so why not admit that? And embrace the connections, for it is in these relationships that lies healing and life. We cannot thrive without one another. What is interesting is that the disciples become living examples of the gospel message they're trying to share. For this practice of showing up without anything in hand, it's actually how we show up before God. Now, we've had 3 baptisms in the last 2 weeks. And when I meet with these baptism families, I always try to remind them that these little ones have not memorized books of the Bible. They cannot recite the 10 commandments, and they haven't served on a church committee. And so sometimes, some ways, this feels wrong, this gift of baptism, because often these kids don't even know what's going on. And yet, baptism is a public reminder to all of us how we come before God. We cannot earn our way to God's love, and so God comes to us, washes us anew in these living waters, and proclaims us beloved children of God, not because of what we do or what we attempt to carry with us, but solely because of who God is. And so, dear ones, what does it look like for you to show up and ask for what you really need? How can we let others in? How can we trust that our ask will not only be honored, but met? How can we let down our guards and remember we need not have it all together on our own? We are built and created to do this thing called life together in community. And when someone asks for your help, how can you meet them where they are without any expectation of return? How can we look with compassion with those who show up in our midst with nothing in hand who ask? Actually, maybe compassion isn't the right word here. How do we rise to meet our neighbors as equals where they are, trusting that they have the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to heal us? That there's this mutual healing in the interaction of help and care. The migrant who has newly entered this country, the unhoused who was just deemed illegal by our highest court, the hungry, the sick, the lonely. There is mutual healing in these interactions of help and care. In order to engage any of these questions, I think Amanda Palmer is right. We have to be willing to step out of our own bubbles, to be in person with others out in the world, to face each other. We cannot forget these instructions to bring nothing. First come with Jesus telling the disciples that they go two by two, filled with the Holy Spirit. We do not go out into this wild world vulnerable with nothing, alone. And so, dear ones, I want to close today with an excerpt from a poem about doing something completely ordinary and yet sacred at the same time. It comes from Madeline L. Ingalls' poem, Lines Scribbled on an Envelope While Riding the 104 Broadway Bus. There is too much pain. I cannot understand. I cannot pray. Here I am. And the ugly man with the beery breath beside me reminds me that it is not my prayers that waken your concern, my Lord. My prayers, my intercessions are not to ask for your love for all your lost and lonely ones, your sick and sinning souls, but mine, my love, my acceptance of your love. Your love for the woman sticking her umbrella and her expensive parcels into my ribs and snarling, why don't you watch where you're going? Your love for the long-haired, gum-chewing boy who shoves the old lady aside to grab a seat. Your love for me, too. Too tired to look with love. Too tired to look at love, at you, and every person on the bus. Expand my love, Lord, so I can help bear the pain. Help your love move my love into the tired prostitute with false eyelashes and bunion feet, the corrupt policeman with his hand open for graft, the addict, the derelict, the woman in the mink and discontented mouth, the high school girl with heavy books and frightened eyes. Help me, through these scandalous particulars, to understand your love. Help me to pray. And, O God, help us all to ask. Amen. Thanks be to God.